This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj. It is the last Tuesday of February, which means our friends from Open Minds Resources are here in the studio to enlighten us on all things digital marketing. So this time on the show, we have with us co-founder of Open Minds, Jen Wong, and managing director of the Open Academy, Celine Ting. Welcome back, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Always good to be back.
Yeah.
So I understand we're doing something different this month. We're going to be deep diving into a very important element of digital marketing, your audience.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when brands or marketers approach digital marketing, they always think that just by starting a Facebook page or just going on e-commerce in general will immediately tap into the billions of users on the internet, which is pretty much a very, very wrong misconception, right? So some people even talk about ad buying or even creating content, they always said, oh, everybody online is my customer. What, you know, it's pretty much saying that 0 to 99 years old are their customers, which is not the case. For digital marketing to really kick in, or for e-commerce to even kick in, there's a very strong emphasis on how targeted your audience is. It's not so much of a set up and forget, but rather set up and optimize. And therefore, it's very important to start off with a very set range, or if not, just that one main customer persona that you can focus on.
Yeah, so I guess the main persona to focus on would be, to begin with, anyone who is online, you know, looking to buy online.
Exactly, exactly. Because there's no point focusing on the target audience that are online but not spending or not willing to spend or not able to spend, right? So being able to know who are the ones watching, who are the ones clicking, who are the ones being converted is very, very important as part of the marketing cycle.
All right, so let's just start with like the e-commerce segment first, right? You know, like what do we know about Malaysians purchasing online?
Malaysians are purchasing a lot online. We are all contributing to the digital economy in a big way. In fact, we were looking at a 24% growth compared to our Southeast Asian neighbours just last year. Our growth has already surpassed our Southeast Asian neighbours quite a bit. And then when you look at the types of categories that they're being spent on, of course, travel continues to be one of the higher numbers over there. But after that, you will still see fashion and beauty products coming quite closely at over $771 million just from last year alone.
All
right. You can imagine the amount of people buying from Zalora, buying from Sephora, buying from all these different e-commerce platforms within the fashion and beauty products segment. They are really spending quite a bit of money. But what's even more interesting is that the online grocery sector in Malaysia, right, it's actually one of the world's fastest growing grocery markets.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting because considering the fact that we do have our mini markets, we do have our pasars and all this very conveniently located, but the growth for online grocery shopping has indeed puts us in one of the fastest growing markets around the world.
I think it's the parking. I think people don't want to have
it's a huge turn off.
The traffic, right? The traffic,
yes.
The parking.
Okay, what about electronics? Because I know like in the States, that is one of the big ones, right?
Mm-hmm. So electronics are also very big in Malaysia. I think we have also went past the phase of going to a computer shop or a mobile phone shop, you know, in Lau Yat, and then ask the uncle, hey, can you show me 5 of the latest phones? We rarely do that anymore.
Mm.
We basically just click and buy online and it gets delivered to our home. So yes, electronics is also one of the bigger segments. So travel, for sure. Electronics and then fashion and beauty products. These are the top three categories that are still reigning very strongly in Malaysia.
All right, so we've identified now that Malaysians love to buy stuff online. It's like our favorite weekend pastime, going to the malls, is now translated to weekday shopping as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do we then identify, you know, for a digital marketer, for a business owner, a product owner, how do you then identify who do you segment into, or how to like zoom into your customer?
Yeah, so I think a very common kind of error that a lot of businesses tend to do is they kind of think of their business from their own perspective. So when they try to create a target audience or create a persona or create content for that matter for their audience, they always think of themselves, right? So they think, oh, this is something that I want to know about my brand, or this is something cool about my brand, so I'm just going to show everything and everything about my brand that I think is cool. But what happens is that as a business owner, it's very important to kind of put yourself in your audience's shoes and then pick a target audience that there's always multiple target audience, right? So there's always primary, secondary, tertiary. So it's very important to kind of put yourself in their shoes. So when it comes to determining who your target audience is, putting yourself in their shoes is very important. So the most basic way to do it, like the first step, is really just to define in terms of demographics. So their age, don't put a huge range. So I think Jen mentioned 0 to 99 is a huge difference. Yeah. So maybe put like a 5-year age gap. So 30 to 35. So the lifestyle is kind of similar. 20 to 25, the lifestyle is kind of similar. So it's a safer bet to go for a smaller age range. Even gender is a good way to go about it. Location, definitely, especially if you don't really have... you don't kind of sell outside of Malaysia, if let's say your territory is Malaysia. So location is very important. Sometimes even just the neighboring areas are also relatively important. And then you kind of build a profile on it and then go into more detail. So whether education, whether their status, whether their lifestyle, what their interests are, hobbies. So this is just the surface level of how you kind of determine the basics of your target audience.
What about income level and spending power?
Mm-hmm.
Is so that also, like the basic, or is it like secondary or tertiary?
I would say that's secondary because obviously you start off with the age and gender and da-da-da, so you kind of understand like, okay, for a female 20 to 25, they might be interested in things like makeup, right? So then if you're selling beauty products, you think, okay, I'll target these groups of people. But Sephora and let's say Watson's makeup, the price range is very different,
right?
So then you start thinking of, okay, their income, right? So maybe for a college student, they can't really afford maybe something from Sephora. Maybe not so much nowadays, but in the past, you may not be able to afford, right? But then for a young working adult, maybe Sephora might be more suitable for their range or for their income range.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when you start considering secondary, like, okay, since I'm selling more expensive products, maybe I should think about income. Right, so it becomes a secondary kind of targeting to target your target audience.
What about some businesses that have a B2B element?
Mm-hmm.
How then?
So for B2B, it's very tricky when it comes to targeting, but because the audience is very small, right? It's very niche. For that to work, you really need to understand your audience because with a lot of the targeting or with ads, at least when you talk about targeting, a lot of people talk about ads. To reach to these people, your messaging, the way you talk to them, what you're trying to get to them, even their pain points, their gains, all these things are very, very important.
Mm.
And because your target audience is so small, you're competing with maybe another competitor that's targeting the exact same group of audience, right? So you kind of have to stand out, I would say, and also understand your target audience really, really well. So whether you need to talk to your current target audience, do more surveys, understand the market a little bit better, whether digital is even for you, that's also another thing that you need to consider as well, especially for B2B.
All right, so what else goes into building that profile of your target audience?
One interesting thing that we just spoke about was income level, right? But again, just to throw a bit of statistics out there again, is that from last year's statistics, we actually found that the people that are spending online are quite evenly distributed between the high income stream, middle income stream, and the low income stream. We're all talking about 30+% each, right? This means that in terms of e-commerce or online spending, basically everybody is buying.
It's the convenience.
It's the convenience. It is really convenience. And this is backed up even by the mobile spending, right? Where we're looking at out of 91% of Malaysians that actually spend online, 62% of the transaction is actually done mobile.
Using your mobile phone.
Mobile phone, exactly.
Right.
So this means that it's no longer about screen size. It's no longer about how high definition your video may look like on your screen, but rather the convenience of whether your website is mobile enabled for somebody to complete an entire purchase through their mobile phones. Right. So this also brings up, when it comes to targeting, to also look at mobile devices. There is a general consensus in the marketing industry saying that there should be a little bit more budget focused towards mobile platforms versus desktop these days. I'm not saying that we should completely put aside desktop, but mobile has to have certain form of importance as well. And how to do that? We've talked about it in previous shows as well, how we can utilize the different e-commerce features in the different mobile apps, right? You talk about an Instagram app, using the shoppable post, clicking on it will link you to a mobile purchasing experiences. Or if your own mobile e-commerce store, how do you make sure that the steps are quick enough, short enough that people can get in? So all this ties back into who you are really targeting. And another interesting thing to also talk about is that many people think that the older generation is not spending on e-commerce. That's not true. Yeah, they are actually purchasing a lot. But as of now, there's a very interesting usage behavior. They browse on their mobile phone simply because it's easy. Easier. They receive all the content on it. But when it comes to purchase, they purchase it on the web.
So they're doing all their research.
Yes.
Exactly. So this means that from a digital marketing perspective, whether it's social or whether it's an email or whether it's your WhatsApp marketing, it's very important to realize that mobile is where people first pick up the news. And then there needs to be a continuity into web for them to complete the entire transaction.
Is it a struggle, though, for then a digital marketer to kind of assess the conversion rate? Because if they're doing one thing using the mobile and then doing, you know, maybe going to the shop to purchase it, or, you know, how does that work out?
It shouldn't be difficult. I mean, only because whenever you need to purchase something, other than if you check out as guests, right, you have an account for everything. Right, whether it's Zalora, Lazada, Shopee, the same thing. So once they track your account, they know that you're maybe browsing it on your mobile phone, and then this particular product, then on the website, it will target you again and be like, oh, you were looking at this thing, why don't you click and buy it, right? Mm. So I don't think it's an issue. The only issue might be if, let's say, they browse it as guests. So from what I understand is that the older generation tends to do that because they don't know how to create an account, and they feel like, I don't want to create an account. I don't want to give my details to these platforms, and they're iffy about the whole thing. But I think it's an education process as well. So if, let's say, brands or different businesses wants to kind of tap into this, it'll be good to encourage the users to create a profile. It's that way they can gather data as well, which is great for them. So when it comes to their targeting, it helps, right? So before this, we were talking about just very general targeting because we kind of guess like, okay, this is my target audience, this is what they're spending. But if you actually have the data itself, it would be even better because then the ads or whatever that you're trying to target can be even more specific. So it'd be even greater. So I think it's just a lot of education process. A lot of people think about education for the younger generation. It's easier, definitely. But I think for the older ones, they actually have more money to spend, technically. So if there is a way to kind of educate the older generation about things like this, they already have a mobile phone. They have a smartphone. They have a laptop. Right, it's just a matter of getting them to click into it and sign up for it.
Plus, there are things like pixel remarketing and UTM links, right? That really track your clicking behavior. So sometimes even when you are browsing as a guest, something could have been already stored on your phone or on your web, and everywhere you go, you see the same ad, and then people call it God's destiny, you know, for me to buy the pair of shoes.
It's fate,
you know. These same shoes keep following me everywhere I go, but it's not fate, you know. It's smart marketer behind that have already pre-planned what they call an integrated marketing approach, so that whether you're on web, whether you're on mobile, whether you're on watching on YouTube or you're on Facebook, your Instagram stories, you can't escape, right? Simply because you've taken that first step and they stick with you for whatever duration they plan it for.
That's the term there. There's no escape from online shopping. All right, it's already time for a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about using an empathy map to determine your audience. Stay tuned. Marketing Mojo will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Business-filled minds. BFM 89.9.
This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. I'm Audrey Raj. Jan Wong and Celine Ting from Open Minds Resources are with me today, and we are discussing the customer journey in digital marketing, focusing specifically on identifying your target audience. So, Celine, there is something called an empathy map, and that can help digital marketers kind of assess who their target audience is.
Yep.
How do we use this? What is this? Give us the details.
I won't say common, but I think it's a known kind of like a marketing tool. It's just, you just have to kind of digitalize it a little bit because it's very easy to go back down to offline. But if you're trying to kind of bridge the gap and try and go digital, maybe using the consumer empathy map or empathy map in a more digital manner or think very digitally is important. So before this, we talk a lot about targeting our audience, right? So after that, we kind of know their demographics, their age, their gender, even their spending and whatnot. When you go into the consumer empathy map, it's really to dive in deeper into what they see, what they think, how they feel, what are their, some of their pain points, what do they value. So it's really diving into this particular person's kind of like psychography a little bit, just to understand your consumers a little bit more so that when you're trying to target your consumers, you can target these points, right? So for example, usually how you segment a consumer empathy map, it's really with those few things that I mentioned. So there are points like think and feel, see, say and do, pain, gain, hear. So how do you kind of differentiate those kinds of things really depends on which segment you're in. So for example, if you talk about hear, it talks about who they're influenced by, right? So whether they're influenced by their friends, their family, influencers. So when it comes to buying a certain product, for example, if it's e-commerce, right? So before they buy a particular product, maybe they hear reviews from their friends or their family has talked about it, but do their families actually influence them? So if, as a college student, do I care what my family thinks if I buy this product, or do I care if my friends tell me this product is actually pretty cool, right? So a high chance maybe my family would my friends would influence me way more than what my family thinks.
How do you create an empathy map?
So there are actually 6 points when creating an empathy map. So the first one is think and feel. Then we have hear, we have see, say and do, and we also have pain and gain. So how that kind of works. So for example, if you're buying a TV online, these are the few processes that you actually go through when buying a TV online, right? So when it comes to think and feel, you think about what really counts, what you value the most. Do you care about the quality of the TV? Do you feel that it's a need? Right? Do you value the size? Right? So these are things that you kind of think about or when you feel before buying a TV online. So for example, for hearing, it's more towards what you're influenced by. Do you care about what the advertisement says about the particular television? Do you ask around your family, your friends, if an influencer were to tell you this is the best TV that I've ever used? Do you care about that? Mm-hmm. Right? So are you influenced by all these things that you listen to, you hear? When it comes to see, just things happening around the market, right? The competitors, you look at, okay, this TV is great, but what about the competitor, right? Is it better, right? So these are things around you, environment, so maybe even the climate, right? Is it a good time to buy a TV right now, or should I wait? Should I just use my laptop? Should I just leave it and maybe buy next year? You know, so this is just the things that you see around you to kind of analyze whether or not you want to buy. Say and do. So it's say and do is quite interesting because you can break it down to a few different points. So for say and do, it's either behavior towards another person, or if you want to think digitally, it's behavior online, right? Whether what their behavior is like on social media, what their behavior is like digitally, or when they're even shopping for a TV online, right? So when it comes to Facebook, for example, if you're trying to target this particular group of person, do they like to browse news? Do they like to browse educational posts, right? So these are things to consider. But when they go on Instagram, do they care to see an ad about a TV? Do they prefer a video, right? So say and do is their behavior basically digitally and online. And
so how does that tie back to them wanting to purchase a TV?
So it ties back because as you're building this consumer empathy map, you're actually creating different streams of either content, either PR approach, right? So when you think about what they're influenced by. So for example, if I give you an example about education, a lot of the times your target market technically is actually college students, right? Because you're or uni or high school students because they're going into university or college.
Right.
But if you actually think about it, who are they listening to, right? It's their parents, right? So then you can angle your content or your ad to actually speak to the kids to talk to their parents, or you can speak to the parents to talk to their kids, right? So you kind of understand a little bit better instead of just, I'm going to sell this to the kids, but then at the end of the day, who is the one paying for their education? It's the parents. So you have to angle it in a way where the parents believe your product enough to be like, okay, I'll send my kids there, and the kids believe it enough to be like, hey, mom and dad, I want to go to this university, right? So it's good to understand this in detail so that the way you message is not so surface level. You can actually dive in deeper. I didn't even go into pain and gains because that one is even more interesting because it talks about their frustration, the obstacles. So as a maybe as a young working adult, you're very busy. You can't go to the store. So let me go back to my TV example. You can't go to the store to look for a television, right? So you have no time whatsoever. So that's one of their frustration and that's their obstacle, right? So does your product or your online service solve that issue? And if it does, you can actually reach them that way, right? You can say, so you have no time to go into the store, but have no fear, we can deliver it to you. If you're not satisfied, you can return it, right? So it solves a lot of their problem. It saves them time. So that is one of the pain points that you can actually use to kind of gain their interest. So it's another way of angling. Instead of saying, my TV is the best, my TV is the greatest, you actually target very specific pain points. And as for gains, it's just helping them, whether it's to achieve a goal, right? It's maybe things like, this guy hasn't been spending enough time with their family, so they think that if I buy a TV, I can spend more time with my family, right? So that can be a way to kind of angle it as well, because that's something that they value, that it's a goal that they want to achieve. So yeah, so it's just really breaking it down to something very specific so that when you really need to target this particular group of audience, you can really speak to them, right? So and before this, we talked a lot about how businesses are trying to make things a lot more personalized because people now want to see more personalized messages.
Yes.
When they're talking to big businesses, even when they chat with chatbots, people are trying to make it look like as if it's a real human behind because people want that kind of personalized experience. So if it comes to ads, how you stand out from maybe your competitors is really to personalize a lot of the ads. So we talk about being very specific, right? So as specific as you can go, if you can kind of hit all these pain points or what they think, how they feel, you can really get them to really click the button and buy whatever that you want online. It's kind of scary, but pretty cool.
but here's the thing, right? You know, as a business owner, do all business owners really know their target audience this well? You know, how do they get to that information? Do you have to do focus groups? Do you have to meet your customers more often? But how do you get this kind of specific information?
Yes, you actually need to do that, right? It's either you refer to some statistics online or you actually do your own primary research by spending time to speak to this audience. Or the third way is to look at past data. I'm sure you've probably sold something before, you're already in business, you kind of know how your customer behaves, so you can make some sort of a good guesstimate to it. But if not, it's really an optimization process, right? I think the biggest problem is that a lot of marketers or business owners, they stop at the first step, which is the persona, right? They know the age range, they know the gender, and then they just start blasting ads because, oh, this guy is 18 to 25 years old. He must be on Instagram and just start blasting at one particular platform. But again, as shown in some of the examples earlier, that may not be the case because this guy may be seeing things differently. He may be on Instagram, but what truly influenced him is probably TikTok. He spends more time on TikTok. Or the family members and friends are the key influencers to his pocket, right? So by combining the persona and the empathy map, this gives a more complete overview of who your customer really is. And that, with all this information in place, then it helps marketers to actually move into the funnel, which site they should actually attack, whether it's through the friends, whether it's through the family, or directly through the heart because we know their pain and their gains, right? That's how impulse purchasing works on e-commerce even, right?
Yeah.
They know that, oh, Valentine's Day is coming. They need something quick. They need something personalized. Let me just start blasting the guys.
Right. Okay. Okay. I have another question. Now, you know, you just spoke about Valentine's Day. So, say most of the time, maybe women buy jewelry for themselves. But then, you know, come Valentine's Day, you have the men buying jewelry for the women. So, obviously, there isn't just one specific kind of average user, right? There could be other customers as well. Does that mean that you need to have more than one empathy map?
Yes. In short, yes. Okay. Actually, yeah. So like I think we shared before, you have many groups of target audience. Depending on your product, you probably have a primary one, which will definitely use your product, and then a secondary one and a tertiary one, right? So then from there, you break it down, even narrow it down to a target persona. And then from there, you narrow it down even more to a consumer empathy map. So technically, you're supposed to have multiple consumer empathy maps because I will put it this way. So if let's say your target audience age range is actually quite huge, right? Your product, for example, shoes applies to everyone, right? Everyone needs to wear shoes. But if you're targeting an 18 to a 25, 30-year-old, compared to maybe like a 40 to a 60-year-old, the messaging is very different. So if you have only one consumer empathy map or one target persona, and you kind of blast an ad out to everyone with the same messaging, it doesn't apply to everybody. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of wasting, I would say, money, because obviously it's money per click or whatever, it's all money, right? So you're kind of wasting money because you're reaching the audience that high chance won't buy it, and half the audience that might buy it. So you're kind of wasting half of the money.
Speaking of money, you know, does creating these empathy maps, you know, are they costly?
No. Technically, you just need a Microsoft Word, a printer, print it out, take a pen, start writing. Yeah.
So I think other than looking at past data, so what we usually say is that if you really don't have any data, it's a good way to kind of gather some sort of data is really to look at your competitors as well. So you can actually take a look at their digital platforms, social media, websites, even if you Google search keywords, whether they come up, you know, so you can actually gather data from there, right? So it's public data that you can kind of see, okay, so these are the people commenting, these are the people leaving reviews, these are the people who are liking their posts. So you can kind of gauge like, okay, maybe this might be my target persona, maybe this might be what they like, what they feel, what they see, what they do. So you can always start somewhere. And then as you gather data, your consumer empathy map will definitely be polished and become way cleaner and maybe way clearer for you as well as a brand. And you can think that, okay, maybe this is not what I'm looking for. I should switch to something else. Yeah.
All right. On that note, thank you guys for taking the time to speak with us. I've learned a whole lot about... empathy map.
That's okay.
Empathy map. All right. Now, for the latest on digital marketing, go visit the Open Minds website at openmindsresources.com, or you can catch up on all the best marketing content by looking for the Marketing Mojo podcast on the BFM website, bfm.my, the BFM app, and anywhere else you get your podcast fix. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Jan Wong and Celine Ting from Open Minds Resources, thank you for listening to Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. Catch you again next week. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.